So let's look together. We're going to read this very, it won't take a second, but if you would, if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? And we'll pick up verse 24, chapter 7 and verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, let's pray together. Father, we're grateful this morning for Jesus. Thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's even one person in this room who doesn't yet know you as Lord and Savior, I pray today that you will speak to their heart. I pray that you will draw them to yourself. And I pray that you will save them. Give them grace to say yes to you. Give them courage and faith and everything that's needed. But God, let us be done with that old life, Lord. God, I pray for Christians here this morning that you would set us free. Lord, there's some who are still struggling with some things, God, that you've paid the price for. You've redeemed us from. And I pray this morning that you would change who we are. You would change our story today. And that it would all be just what you've done, who you are. Lord, we give you praise and we thank you. We love you, Lord. We bow in your presence to pray to you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, don't miss this. Paul says, O wretched man that I am. And it is a desperation cry. It is the cry of a heart that is just broken, weighted down, is miserable. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who is going to set me free? Well, I'm going to just say to you this morning, religion has never set anybody free. Being a good neighbor or friend can't set you free. Doing a lot of good works, that's not it. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus is the one who sets us free. Jesus is the one who is that chain breaker that we sang about a moment ago. And He comes and He brings freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is not just being bound up in a bunch of rules and regulations. Now, some folks have tried to come to Jesus and they tried to live their life by living a bunch of rules and regulations. Well, you do these things and you don't do these things. And that's going to get you where you need to be. Well, that's fatally flawed. That will never get you where you need to be. You need a relationship. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, you can know about Him. You know, if I know that Clinton and Bob here haven't met, I can walk up to them and say, Clinton, I want you to meet a friend of mine. This is Bob Spray. And Bob, this is another friend of mine, Clinton Bottoms. And, you know, these two guys can, you know, they can shake hands if they were so inclined. They could talk together. They could begin a relationship where before they knew about each other, they'd heard, oh, I know about that Clinton Bottoms. And Clinton's over here, I know about that Bob Spray. I've heard about him. But until you meet Him face to face, you don't know Him. And you can know about the Lord, but until you come face to face with Him, until you have a heart to heart with Him, until you have a relationship with Him, you can't know Him. And it's not enough to know about Him. You can have a knowledge of God. That doesn't save us. You can even believe that there is a God. You can believe that Jesus is His Son. You can believe all the facts and then not save you. What it requires is that we turn to Him in faith and in repentance. Okay? And you know, that's our part. That's the only thing we do. Salvation is God's work. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who sets us free. He's the one who does it all. When He died on that cross, you remember what He said? He said, "It is finished." And that word there could literally be translated "paid in full." He did everything. So there's nothing that you and I have to bring to it. You know, some people have the idea, well, you know, I trust in Jesus and then I do good things. And kind of that combination. You know, we put all that together and that's going to get us there. That's going to be salvation. And folks, that's not it. Jesus saves. And Jesus alone. So, when Paul writes us this thought, you know, the Bible tells us, Acts 4:12 says to us, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's only one way. There's only one name. There's only one person that can get you into heaven. Well, and yet I hear people talk about today, and they talk about God in very general terms. I mean, I've heard people talk about God like, you know, "Well, the man upstairs is watching over me." Or even, "The good Lord is going to take care of me." Or, you know, I believe in a higher power. And these are all kind of vague. And let's just be specific here. Okay? Let's just be really specific and let's just say it like it is. We're saved by Jesus Christ. And so when as a Christian then, when I talk about God, I don't have to talk in generalities. I don't have to talk in vague terms that you know, I'm afraid I'm going to offend somebody or something. I think we need to be afraid we're not going to offend somebody. I think we need to be more... we don't want to offend them in ourselves, but if it's the gospel that offends them, that's okay. But when you pray, pray in the name of Jesus. Now, I realize that can be just become a rote thing. That can become a habit. That can become something you don't even think about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's how we end our prayer. It's what we do. But I hear a lot of people pray and they say, "In your name." Will somebody here say the name of Jesus? Somebody say Jesus. You know, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Jesus went to the cross for you and He died for you. And you do have victory in His name. You do have freedom through Him. And if that's true in your life, then look for every opportunity to bring Him up. I don't know, some of you have gone through that thing of being in love. You've heard about that? You know, there is this thing, you fall in love, and I mean, it's really weird. But I mean, I can remember, you know, back when it first hit me. Okay? And man, I couldn't hardly eat. I mean, there was more important things on my mind. And y'all, I want to suggest to you, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said that He had something against one of the churches there in Revelation. He said, "You've left your first love." And there were some of us when we first got saved, when we first came to faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, it's been a while for some of us. But when we first got saved, man, we were so excited. We were so pumped up. We were so full of Jesus that we wanted to tell the world. And we were excited about it. But then we got around all the other Christians who'd gotten over their excitement, and we learned to get over ours too. Settle down there, young man. Settle down. I want to tell you, this is something that we need to never get over. Because Jesus Christ is the one who is able to strengthen you in areas of your life, to undergird you, to fill you, to do things in you that we could never do on our own. And I can testify to that. Because I know when I got saved, there were some things that God just took from me. And I am by no means a perfect man. Okay? I am by no means a perfect man. And some of y'all are saying, Brother Tim, we've been knowing you 25 years. We know this. And right back at you. But I do know that when I got saved, God did some things. I mean, there were some things that changed overnight. There were some things that happened. Now, there's some other parts of my story that it's been a gradual thing. And some areas I still deal with today and I'm still struggling with today. But let me be specific here. Now, you know, for just a moment, let me just tell you one of the things God set me free from. When I got saved, God set me free from pornography. Now, back in that time, back in that good old days now, I realized porn wasn't available like it is now. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is able to set you free from things that are in your life that you haven't been able on your own. And what you need and what you must do is you must give this thing to God. And you must say, oh God, I want You more than I want any of this stuff of the world. And it may not be anything about pornography, but it could be something else that you're, you know, really tied to. You're really stuck on and you can't get past it. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is able. Paul said, who will free me? Who will set me free? Who is going to be the one who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Well, I'm going to tell you, there is no other. It's only through Jesus. He's the only one who can do this. So, if you think, well, I'm going to become more faithful in church. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to change this. I'm going to stop saying that. And I'm going to, you know, look, that's like getting cleaned up before you take a bath. The bath is what cleans you. You don't have to get cleaned up before you take your bath. Neither do you clean up your life before you turn it over to Jesus. You let Jesus into your heart and into your life, and He will chase the money changers out of your temple. He will fix you what's wrong with you. He will change you. He will save you. And for far too long, I think we've been saying we're trusting in Him, but we're actually trusting in what we can do. And what we're finding is that we can't do much. In fact, we can do very little or nothing. So I want to encourage you. There's some Christians sitting here today. You're saved. I mean, you've genuinely trusted Christ. And yet, there's a part of you that is so bound up in whatever it is. Wanting to look good in front of people. Something that you're just so tied to and bound up by. Well, I want to just say to you, you need Jesus to set you free today from that. And He can. And He will. But do you want Him? Do you want Him more than you want that thing, that stuff, that... Some of you are addicted to bitterness. You're addicted to it. You can't live without it. You can't go through a day without your bitterness fix. Well, I'm going to tell you, we've got to take this to Jesus. Because what that's doing is that's growing down deep into your heart and your mind, and it's poisoning your soul. And it may not be apparent to you, but it will be apparent to others. They'll see it. They will know it. They will understand it. You see, there's all kinds of things that we get bound up in. I just want to say to you, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, let me just give you this thought. Paul says there in verse 1, he says, There is therefore now no condemnation. Now, what that means is there was condemnation. You know, John 3 says that everybody who has not yet believed on Jesus is already condemned. You're already condemned. If you haven't trusted Christ, you are under the condemnation of God now. He's already got you there. But when we come to Jesus Christ, something amazing happens. Something wonderful happens. God does this amazing thing. And I've used this illustration over the years, but I'm going to use it one more time. I'm going to let this hand represent me. How many of y'all seen this before? A bunch of you. Won't hurt you. See it one more time. We're going to let this wallet represent my sin. In fact, I need to give Garland some Awana money right now. So, yeah, that's yeah. Yeah. Oh, hang on. Yeah, there's a quarter down in there. Yeah, all right. So we're going to let this hand represent me, and this wallet represents my sin. And I don't even know what's in here, but it's not money. But anyway, it's big and thick, and so it's pretty appropriate to represent my sin. And every time God looks at me, what does He see? He sees my sin. And my sin condemns me because I cannot go to heaven with this. It just simply cannot happen. It never will happen. God will not allow me into His heaven with this in my heart, my life. But let me let this hand represent the Lord Jesus. And God looks at me and He loves me in spite of my sin. Because you know what? The Bible says that God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so what happens is that God sent His Son. And I'm going to use a set of keys here. And I'm going to let this set of keys represent the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The goodness of Jesus Christ. And so something wonderful happens. God looks at me and says, man, that guy is so lost. He needs someone to help him. He needs a Savior. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He died on a cross to pay for my sins. So here's what Jesus does. Jesus comes, and what He does, when I turn to Him in faith and in repentance, what Jesus does is He takes my sin from me. Which is unbelievable. And those of you who struggled under the load of sin that you have in your own heart, the guilt, the pain, the shame, the embarrassment, the hatred of what you have done and what you do. And that can be so devastating to us. But Jesus takes it all upon Himself. The perfect, sinless, holy Lamb of God, the one who'd never done anything wrong, He takes all of my sin, all the ugly things I've ever thought, all the mean things I've ever said, all the unkind words, every impure thought, everything. And He takes them upon His own body, and He pays for them on the cross. He hangs there in agony and suffers hell on that cross for me. And that's amazing. And I can never thank Him enough, because I could never get rid of this on my own. I could never get rid of it myself. But He takes it. He will take your sin. But that's not even the best part of this. The better part of it is that not only does He take our sin and place it upon Himself, but in place of that, He gives us righteousness. So now, when God looks at me, what does He see? Righteousness. Is it my righteousness? No. It's the righteousness of Jesus. Well, folks, that's an exchange that you can't beat. But that's an exchange that you've got to have if you want to go to heaven. So it's not about religion or being a Baptist even. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. And when that happens, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And what happens when we get saved is that God saves us. Okay? Now, here's the thing that would happen if I saved or had any part in saving myself, if that were possible. I'd have the awfulest patched up mess of salvation, if you want to call it that. And guess what would happen? It would fall apart. It would crumble under the pressure and the stress and the temptations and the things that come at me. But what happens when God saves us? God saves us so completely, so powerfully, so mightily, that I can't even undo it. That's right. Well, you know, we speak of salvation as a new birth. Jesus said you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of heaven. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Well, we understand birth a little bit. Some of us not very much. So you have no clue what it cost your mother to birth you into this world. But you really ought to go thank her. You ought to just go and grab her, hug her neck, and say, thank you, Mama, for what you put up with. And the mamas in the room are going, uh-huh. You don't know the half of it. Well, the birthing process is a difficult one in some ways. But there's only one way into this world. I mean, there's, you know, one shortcut. You can have a C-section, I guess. Still get here. But the one way God's made is through that birth canal. You've got to be born. And everybody sitting here listening to my voice, you've been born. You have been born. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You may not know it. You may have thought you were hatched or something, but you've been born. You've been birthed. You've got a mama and a daddy somewhere, and they brought you into this world. Well, just as surely as that physical birth happened, your spiritual birth has to happen. And it's not about some outward thing that we say, yes, you know, I pray a prayer, or I walk the aisle, or I get baptized, or I do some good thing. Those are all good things, but it's something that happens on the inside of us. Jesus said that which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit, that's what's important. So we need this spiritual birth that happens on the inside of us. But you know what? Just like you can't go back and undo your birth, I mean, you can't. I mean, Marilyn, no matter how hard you try, your birth is your birth. It just You know, it's history, it's happened, it's done. You can't undo it. When you are born again, God does it. And you are birthed into the family of God. You are now His child. And you can't undo that either. Now, you'd never want to. Once you're truly born again, you would never want to. You'll live forever in awe and in amazement of what God has done. But let me just say to you, that's why Paul can say, there is therefore now no condemnation. It's because that new birth fixes everything that was wrong with that first birth. David said, I was conceived in iniquity. I came into this world in sin. But oh, listen, when we're born again, everything changes. Our entire life trajectory changes. Everything is suddenly new. And it doesn't mean that all of our problems vanish and go away. It doesn't mean that suddenly everything's all better and we don't have to deal with the consequences of some of our past choices. Sometimes we still have to deal with that stuff. But oh, I'm going to tell you, what God does is so incredible, so amazing. But be careful of this. Be careful of church salvation. Don't ever think, well, of course I'm saved. I'm a member of First Baptist Church. Don't ever think, well, of course I'm saved. I go to church every week. Don't ever think, well, I do these good things, therefore I'm saved. That's not what saves you. It's that new birth. And just like that first birth is, it's a difficult journey in a way. I mean, you see people talking about babies, you know, oh, isn't he pretty? Oh, look at that face. Look, you know, and I mean, if they come through that birth canal, they come out there with their head shaped like a bullet. And they're all stuffed up and red and man, and we would be too. I mean, that's a terrible process to have to go through. Mostly they just kind of look mean and or miserable and you know, just kind of red. And I'm like, well, yeah, he does kind of look like you. I want to tell you, when Jesus tugs on your heartstrings, you'll know it. Okay? You'll know it. And so when you feel that, when you sense Him calling you, speaking to you, and it doesn't matter. You say, well, I prayed a prayer years ago. I was saved such and such time. I joined the church. None of that really matters. Because none of that saves us. And so if there's any doubt in your mind, settle that thing. Get that thing taken care of. Do whatever you need to do. Make sure of your salvation. Because it's like going to the car dealer and buying a brand new car, but not buying an engine to go in it. You can have all the trappings. You can look like, man, you can park that in your driveway and boy, what a nice car. Man, that's awesome. Can you take me to town? No, can't really do that. Won't go anywhere. That's where a lot of people are in their walk with the Lord because they don't have the engine. You've got to have Christ in your heart. You've got to have this personal. So, this morning as we close, if God is speaking to your heart today, you can have this true of you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You can be saved and set free. And Christian, there's some of us sitting here this morning who still need God to move and work and set us free in some area. I want to say to you, God can do it. I want to ask you this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer, and as we focus on the Lord in this final part of our invitation time, I want to ask that you just focus in on the fact that God has given every one of us this opportunity today. And He's given every one of us the Word that we need. Let me give you a scripture and we'll close with this. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And God wants to save the lost. He wants you to be saved if you're not. So today, I hope everybody in the room can say, "Brother Tim, I know in my heart, I know it's settled. I'm saved." I hope you can say that. But if you can't, I want to invite you in this moment. Would you bow your head with me? And if you want to be saved, if you want to be set free from your sin, if you want with Paul to have Jesus Christ deliver you, He will. But our part in this is simply to believe. It is to trust. And you cannot believe in Him without turning from yourself and from your sin and from who you are. And so in the same breath, if you want to receive Jesus, then cry out to Him and say to Him something like this. Say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I need You. Lord, I'm so sorry for all the things I've done. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me and save me. Change me, Lord. Come into my life and set me free today. Jesus, I believe You died for me on that cross." Just tell Him from your heart. "Jesus, I believe You rose again. And today, and from this point forward, I'm trusting in You, Lord. Save me. Save me, Lord Jesus." Tell Him. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, then I'm going to ask you to confess Christ. Because the Scripture says we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. We let others know. And part of your confession is baptism. That's part of the way we confess Christ, is we get baptized. Because we've been saved. But today, as an initial step, I want to invite you in just a moment to come. Take my hand and say, "Pastor, I prayed that prayer. And I'm trusting in Christ today." Because I want to know. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. I want to be able to come alongside of you. But here's the hard part of this moment. It's easy to pray a prayer. It's simple to pray a prayer. What's hard is to swallow your pride, to humble yourself, and to admit in front of others that you need Christ. You need saving. You need salvation. But if that's what God's spoken in your heart today, and that's what He's done, then I want to encourage you. I want to pray for you that God will give you the grace to say yes to Him. Father, I thank You for every person in the room. But Lord, I pray especially if there's even one today who cried out to You in prayer and said, "Oh God, I need You. God, I'm a lost person. I need You, Lord. Save me." Father, I pray that You would not only hear that prayer, I pray You would save that soul and turn their life around. God, give them such a change of heart and mind and attitude that they will be different. But Lord, give them also grace to openly confess You before others, to follow You. And Lord, I pray You'd give them courage to step out. Father, I pray as well for believers in this room, because there's some of us who, well, Lord, to be honest, all of us still struggle. We still have needs and difficulties. And I pray this morning that You would come and just speak to our hearts and help us to know that You have all power. Nothing is too hard for You. And Lord, that You love us with an everlasting love. I pray, God, that You'd help us today to surrender those parts of our lives to You. Take them, Jesus. Take them. Areas of brokenness and pain and bitterness and hardness and difficulty of sin, of addiction, whatever it is, God, would You break us of every way in which we rely upon ourselves. Now we're going to remain just in an attitude of prayer and seeking the Lord. But if God has spoken to your heart in some area, I would encourage you, don't let your mind shift into neutral here. Take this moment and pursue what God is saying. Christian, this is the time. Get serious with Him. This altar's here. If you need to come, you come. And if you just prayed to receive Christ, I want to invite you to come and take my hand and say, Pastor, I prayed and I meant it. You come. If God is dealing with your heart, you come as Bob plays softly.